In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christos en esti. Wow. Christ is risen. Today is the first Sunday of the Holy 50 Days, and today the Church celebrates one of the seven minor feasts of the Church. Today is called Thomas Sunday. Thomas Sunday is considered a feast in the Church because it was on this day that the disciples, and not only Thomas, all of the disciples, confirmed their belief in the resurrection. Actually, in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, we read how the Lord, He appeared in the midst of the disciples. And the Lord said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts..." He said this to all of His disciples. "Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me, see me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And then at the end of the Gospel of St. Matthew, before the Great Commission, it's written that when they saw Him, when He appeared to them, they worshipped Him. But then it says, but some of them doubted. So it wasn't only Thomas who doubted. All of the disciples doubted. And actually, St. Cyril, on his commentary on this passage, he said, although the other disciples went to St. Thomas and said, "We have seen the Lord," St. Cyril says that the minds of the other disciples was not entirely free from doubt or perplexity. The other disciples, although they had seen the Lord, they also too had doubts about the resurrection. And the Gospel of John, the Gospel of today, gives us further insight into the doubt of the one apostle, St. Thomas, one of the disciples, St. Thomas. And St. Thomas is a type. He is a type. He is a symbol of those who do not believe in the resurrection. And today, each one of us must ask ourselves, do we believe in the resurrection? Do we believe in the resurrection? We can say Christos en esti all we want. We can do all the processions and run around in circles all day. But do we believe in the power of resurrection? You know, in 15th and 16th century Europe, during the Renaissance period, philosophers, they promoted a philosophy called skepticism. Skepticism. And in the 20th century, our skepticism has reached new heights because we live in a time where we have to be skeptical about everything. Or we're skeptical about the news that we listen to, fake news. We've become skeptical of the foods we eat. They have hormones, additives, preservatives. After COVID, we've become skeptical of science and medicine because everything these days has been tainted by greed and politics. And these days, so many people have different opinions and so many contrary studies. So everyone can quote anything about anything and to prove a point. And it's become difficult to discern truth in webs of lies. So we've become skeptical people. And unfortunately, maybe this skepticism that we see in society now has crept into the church. And now we have skepticism and we have doubts about things maybe we shouldn't doubt. We have doubts in the power of prayer. We have doubts that God is present with us. Actually, St. Paul, in the Acts of today, he said, when he was preaching to them, he said, "You believe in God, He is with us now. He's the one by whom we have our being, by whom we live by. That God is present with us." Do we have doubts that God is sometimes present with us? Do we have doubts that God is alive and He is active in our lives? You know, perhaps maybe we've gone through some trauma, so we wonder, where was God? We come to church, we don't feel anything. So we say, what is the point of doing what we're doing? So we've become even skeptical of even the sacraments. We have doubts in God's ability to save us. We call Him a Savior, but sometimes I wonder, God, You didn't save me. What are You saving me from? You didn't save me from anything. Oftentimes we're placed in a difficult circumstance and we have doubts that anything will change. And so I feel like if we have doubts, if we're suffering from skepticism, if we have doubts about faith, I believe this feast is for us today. This feast is for you. This feast is about a confirmation of faith. This feast is about transformation. We'll talk about that at the end. And that's why I want to discuss with you today how the Lord heals our skepticism, how He removes our doubts. The first way the Lord heals our skepticism is by divine revelation. The Lord healed the skepticism of Thomas and the disciples by showing Himself to them multiple times. And the Lord heals our skepticism by confronting our skepticism head on. You know, St. Thomas, he did not believe in the resurrection. So the Lord told him, touch these wounds. And after St. Thomas touched the wounds, he said, "My Lord and my God." Skepticism, gone. St. Paul was very skeptical about Christianity. And Christ appeared to him. And Christ confronted his skepticism head on. And this encounter crushed his skepticism. And there's many stories. Yanni, this week some people were telling me about stories about priests and people who were skeptical about communion. And in every one of those stories, something supernatural occurs. Maybe Abuna sees something, one of the congregation members sees something. And then, what happens to the source of skepticism? It's gone. God, in His love, often tries to remove our skepticism by divine revelation. But this revelation needs a soft heart. This revelation needs a soft heart. You know, Nathanael was skeptical that they had found the Messiah. And so he told Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" What is this? And so Philip told him, "Come and see." And when Jesus saw Nathanael, he said, "Behold an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And then immediately Nathanael cried out, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." One moment of revelation took all the skepticism away from Nathanael. And even the Lord was like perplexed. What? He said, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? That was enough for you to believe." He said, "You will see much greater things than these." And he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." God's revelation needs a soft heart like Nathanael. A hard heart could have been like, "Oh, you just got lucky. There's many fig trees in Jerusalem. Oh, what are you talking about? You saw me under the fig tree. Oh, that's just a matter of coincidence." He healed the blind man and that was divine revelation, and the people were more blind after he healed the blind man. So, a hard heart will not recognize God's revelation. God did 10 amazing miracles, plagues, to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh didn't believe. He didn't believe. The other day, someone was telling me about how God saved them. God saved them. And it's a miracle how they are still alive. This person was telling me they're on borrowed time. So they feel they need to dedicate their life to God. And you know, many people, they go through like traumatic experiences, car accidents, medical miracles, so on and so forth. And these people clearly recognize that God's hand saved them. My question is, what are you doing with this revelation? This revelation, this moment, God saved you. This is a skepticism crushing moment. And this is a moment that should be used for you to rededicate your life to God. Another way we can get revelation, because revelation doesn't only come through supernatural occurrence. Actually, revelation comes through the Scripture. St. Paul says, All Scripture is given by inspiration. Inspiration means all the Scripture is given by God's breath. God's breath. So when we read Scripture, it's as if we are taking in God's breath. We are taking in God's best. That's why that's pillar number two. If anyone is skeptical, cast out your skepticism by reading the scripture, seeing the promises of God. You know, when we were reading the scripture last week, we were reading how, or we saw in the scripture something that touched me was at the end of the ministry of Christ, all of the high priests and all of the scribes, very skeptical about of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they came to Him testing Him, saying, tell us, if a man marries seven, or if a woman has seven husbands, which one is it going to, which one is, whose husband will have her in heaven? And then they asked Him another question, who should we pay taxes to? And then the Lord gave them answers that like cut to the heart and answered them with immense wisdom. So actually, some of the people grinded their teeth and said, we can't get him. Another part, like one scribe actually said, wow, this man's answering, like, his answers are amazing. And so then he was like, I want to ask you another question. So he asked the Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And then the Lord answered, and then the scribe said, you have answered so well. And then the Lord said something to him very nice, said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. I feel like his words took away his skepticism. The divine scripture has the ability to take away skepticism. Another way to take away skepticism is perseverance. Perseverance of faith. Sometimes when we doubt, when we are skeptical, we want to give up. We want to give up prayer. We want to give up confession. We want to give up on the liturgy. But if we persevere, if we remain faithful in times where maybe we shouldn't be faithful, if we are faithful in times we shouldn't be faithful, this will set us up for God's revelation. You know, St. Thomas, he had doubts about the resurrection. And St. Cyril actually pointed out something very interesting about this doubt that St. Thomas had. He said that St. Thomas not only had doubts about the resurrection, he had doubts because he was so hurt that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to all of his friends and not to him. So St. Cyril says, like, he was suffering from, like, maybe, like, inferiority complex. Ishmana dol, they got to see you. Washmana these got, and I was left. You can appear to me. Can't you appear to me? So he was feeling kind of resentful toward even his brothers. Oh, you guys are, you know, and sometimes we get resentful. We see God working in someone's life. And then we get resentful. Oh, hashmana, Rabbana bishtagl ma'adi, when bishtagl ma'ada, how come Mishbi is not giving me anything? And so we get resentful. But St. Thomas didn't let his resentment keep him away from the church. Actually, the solution was not to leave the church and say, I don't want to do anything. Actually, what he did is he stayed with them. He stayed with them for the remaining 8 days. And after that, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the locked room and revealed himself to St. Thomas. We need to persevere in our faith. We shouldn't let our skepticism get the best of us. I was thinking about it like this. Faith is like a bird. Faith is like a bird. Skepticism is like a chain. When skepticism is tied, when skepticism ties our faith, it's like a bird that's tied to a chain. Yeah? Because faith and belief, they can let us fly. But skepticism weighs us down. Skepticism keeps us tied to the ground. Faith wants us to soar. And that's why our Lord said belief and faith, they are the gateways to everything heavenly. Our Lord said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Sometimes we might believe that we need to believe more. Sometimes we believe that we need to believe more. We need more faith. But really, I think we need to remove the chains. Remove the skepticism. Remove the doubt. You know, the father of the epileptic man, or the epileptic child, the father of the epileptic child, he said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And similarly, like this account, another account in Luke 17, the apostles asked, "Increase our faith, increase our faith." Interestingly, the reply to both of those, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And when the apostles asked, "Increase my faith," you know what the Lord's reply to them was? "Increase my faith, Lord. I want to have more faith." The Lord told them, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree." And to the disciples in the miracle of the epileptic boy, said, "Because of your unbelief," because of your unbelief is a chain, it's holding us down. "For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Do you get it? I don't think so. Do you get it? The solution is not to get a bigger bird. The solution is not to get a bigger bird. The solution is to cut the chain. Remove the doubt. Remove the skepticism. Our faith is sufficient to move mountains. So all we need is faith as a mustard seed. Perhaps we have doubts. The doubts, you know how big the doubts are? The doubts are as big as the mountain. The doubts are the mountain. The doubts are the mountain. But if we have faith as a mustard seed, we can move the mountain. Remove the doubt by faith as big as a mustard seed. The last way to remove our skepticism, is to touch the wounds of Christ. To touch the wounds of Christ. The way the Lord removed the doubt and skepticism of St. Thomas is amazing. Because he didn't show Thomas his glorified body. He didn't show him like what St. Peter, St. James, and John, they saw on the Mount Tabor, a glorified and full of light. What cast out his doubt was seeing the wounds of Christ. The wounds of Christ, this is what heals. This is what takes away our skepticism. And the irony is remarkable in this. Because usually the wounds, the trauma, are the sources of my skepticism. But the healing of my skepticism is actually those wounds. Actually, the healing of my faith comes from the wounds of Christ. The gospel of today turns everything on its head. The wounds of Christ on the resurrected body are the reason for my faith. On Good Friday, I spoke to you about the greatest miracle, which was the death of Christ. The death of Christ. And I feel like today, you see, that is the great, because he could have been in a resurrected body and he could have healed all of his wounds, but he chose to keep the wounds, because these wounds are a sign of glory. And that's why even in the book of Revelations, whenever they see the Lord Jesus Christ, they see him as the lamb who was slain. They see him as the slain lamb, to make it a healthy lamb. But the slain lamb is the one that gives healing. The slain lamb is the one that the people need to wash their blood in. The one that they need to touch. And when you touch the wounds of Christ, you will be healed. And that's why now the wounds, they are not wounds. Actually, they are signs of glory. That's why in the hymns of the church, we say, "All the martyrs shall come. All the martyrs shall come. Bearing their afflictions, and the righteous shall come bearing their virtues." When we come before God, we are going to have to show him. The martyrs, they came and they showed his affliction. And the afflictions were a sign for for glory, not a sign for weakness. And when you see the Lord, when you see the Lord, and you touch His wounds, this changes the dynamic of your life. I feel that's why all the readings of today, the reading from the Vespers last night, was about St. Peter and his encounter with the Lord in the boat, and how the Lord told him, I will make you a fisher of men. And then earlier in Matins, it was about the restoration of St. Peter. Seeing the risen Lord is transformative. It will change the way you live. And now St. Thomas, who was doubting the resurrection, now St. Thomas is willing to go to travel to India and Misharfin and to be martyred for the Lord. And he was brutally martyred. And he had wounds for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the power of the resurrection. Anyone who sees the risen Lord and anyone who touches His hands now wants to give themselves to the Lord. I hope today we can have confirmation in the resurrection, to believe in the resurrection. How will your faith in the resurrection change you? How will you live differently? How can we remove our skepticism? We can remove our skepticism through divine revelation, through perseverance in the faith. Keep your faith. Persevere in the faith. And lastly, touch the wounds.